anything, just wave your hand and we'll know. I think we have everyone, correct? Okay, Mr. Jean, we'll call our Lynn. Who's the chair of this thing?
Well, we have to elect one.
What? We have to elect one?
Yeah.
We do.
That's not on the agenda.
That meeting again, so I'll call the meeting to order and we'll do approval in minutes, but then we need to elect a chairperson.
That is. That's number three. You are correct. Okay.
So,
meeting order.
Have I got a motion to adopt the agenda as presented, or are there any modifications?
So moved.
When we're making motions online for minute purposes, why don't you just say your name and then vote?
This is Ted. So moved.
Thank you. All those in favor?
Who's a second?
Rafter will second.
Okay, Rafter will second. I thought you first, so all right, here we go. All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, approval of minutes from March 11th. Any changes? Do we have a motion to approve?
Jenner, to move to adopt.
Jim, I think that was you.
Yes.
Yep. Jim Genrich.
Do we have a second?
A Rafter.
Second? Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, election of committee chairperson.
Is Trustee Green still interested in continuing?
I will continue if nobody else is interested, but if anybody would like a turn, you know, be my guest.
Is anyone interested?
Deafening silence.
I will nominate Trustee Green to continue as committee chairperson.
Look at that. That's Ted. She set the bar so high, nobody wants to even try and overtake.
Oh my gosh, there's a lightning bolt coming your way. All right, first and second, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Thank you, Lynn.
Well, thank you, guys. Any public appearances? Did we have anybody submit any information for public appearance?
None that I'm aware of.
I'm not aware of.
Yep, but we don't have anyone else on the phone, so.
Okay, and me either. So we will move on to construction of sidewalk at the northeast corner of St. Joe's and Riverside.
This item actually was resolved last week, Friday. Early last week, we were notified by a neighbor to the old Chapel Hill apartment complex that they had started to build sidewalk at the corner of St. Joseph Street and Riverside Drive. Last year, when we reconstructed the street, we had purposely left the sidewalk short on both sides of St. Joseph Street for safety reasons. We didn't want to extend sidewalk to Riverside Drive because there currently isn't a safe pedestrian crossing at Riverside Drive. We called developer or managing firm overseeing the apartment complex. We explained the reason why we didn't want them to, at this time, build public sidewalk or to finish the sidewalk on the north side, and they had agreed. They do want to build some private sidewalk, and that is to complete the loop that they currently. That they have started and they want to complete around their complex. So they're going to hold off with building anything within our right-of-way, and they're going to build private sidewalk to complete the connectivity of their internal sidewalk.
Okay. So where does their internal sidewalk go?
Can you bring up... in the packet, I had included a picture and then an exhibit, site plan.
I can share if you want. Oh, no, I'm disabled.
I got it. Hold on.
Is that the plan with the yellow and the pink highlighting?
Yes. Yep.
And the pinks, they're private?
Yep. Yep. They're showing, yeah, the pink sidewalk is private. What I had highlighted orange is public sidewalk walk that we have along St. Joseph Street.
Have we had other instances where private sidewalk has been done in this manner instead of us doing it?
Yeah. I think it's pretty common.
Is it? Okay.
Not in our residential areas, but, you know, on St. Joseph Street, you know, the other condominiums east of here, I know they have private walk. The extended stay hotel, they have private sidewalk that leads from their parking lot to the hotel.
So the private sidewalk that's pink or whatever along Riverside Drive, is that in the right of way or no?
No, it isn't. No, and you know, when they had developed this plan, it was at the time of you know, discussion of reconstructing Riverside Drive, and the DOT was putting together plans for the improvement of Riverside Drive that included sidewalk along the east side, and that improvement I believe required right of way, and you know what they're showing along you know, the west side of their apartment complex may have been you know, a part of what the DOT was proposing at the time. Sidewalk that would run along the east side from, I don't know the exact limits of that project, but from 172 north to the village limits.
So the sidewalk that's there, if we ever do put a public sidewalk in, that would service as that?
Yes.
Or would that be ripped out if we did something later on?
It's on private property. I believe they had designed it that way, that it was designed to accommodate the improvement to the Riverside Drive. I don't know. I don't believe they would have to be ripped up, but if we were to, you know, in the plans that the DOT had put together, they have indicated that project's been definitely put on hold.
Yeah.
If we were to build something in the future, if we wanted to use their sidewalk, I think we'd have to get an easement in the future.
Okay.
It's Sean, if I'm reading this right, it's Ted, as you're heading west on St. Joseph, are you going to have to take kind of a jog to the north to then hook up with the sidewalk and then come back south before you hit Riverside? Am I looking at that right?
What side of St. Joseph Street are you looking at?
I'm
south of the 12 unit.
No, yeah. What I tried to show there was not. They're looking at. They wanted to build sidewalk within our right of way, and we had indicated to them that we're reluctant to do that for safety reasons. That we had ended the sidewalk short. We had ended it at their westernmost driveway into their apartment complex.
Right.
I didn't know what that pink line was to represent what we had discussed and what they're going to look at installing. They're going to look at building walk on their own property and come off of the sidewalk along Riverside Drive and kind of put a little S-curve in there and run along the south side of that 12-unit building and over to their driveway.
Okay, so it would be more of an S-curve on the west side of that driveway. It would start an S-curve towards the building, then walk alongside the building, and then you'd S-curve back out before you hit Riverside to then connect up with the straighter Riverside Drive sidewalk?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That could, that, Yep, and they're currently laying that out right now. It could be, you know, as you know, on the east side of that 12 unit, it could be another S curve, or it could be a 90 degree turn right down to the driveway, along the west side of the driveway.
I guess what I'm getting at is, and please keep me honest here, guys, sorry, it's still going to be their responsibility to maintain the sidewalk in the winter and everything else, correct? We don't have to snowblow that or anything?
They're private, definitely their private sidewalk. The public sidewalk, the sidewalk within our right-of-way, currently when we get 3 inches or greater of snow, we come in and we clear the block.
So what you have highlighted in pink on this is actually going to be their responsibility.
Yes.
Because that's all on their property.
Yes. Yes.
And it'll be their responsibility to maintain the integrity of the sidewalk as well. So in 10 years, if there's cracks or heaving or anything like that, they have to maintain that as well. So it won't be a village liability if it's not maintained.
Correct. It's their sidewalk. It's private. They're responsible for the maintenance of it.
It's private, but the public can use it.
No. No.
Oh, no, they can't.
No.
I'm
no,
so
it's
confused.
Private. Oh, the issue here was that they wanted to extend what we had built last year. We had constructed public sidewalk along St. Joseph Street.
Right.
They were asking to extend our sidewalk within our right of way to the corner, and we said no. We do have some reservations with that right now. One, we don't have a safe crossing at Riverside Drive. Two, we don't know where that crossing will be at this point. We're currently looking at options. We had discussed the possibility of crossing pedestrians at St. Joseph Street. However, it's an uncontrolled intersection. A lot of traffic, vehicles traveling at a high speed. We've looked at the possibility of taking people north up to near St. Francis Park and having a mid-block crossing there. We've also looked at the possibility of a crossing down off of Alloway Avenue. We haven't yet determined where we're going to provide that safe crossing, and we didn't want them to. We weren't going to allow them at this point to build anything within our right of way. Would have saved us a few bucks, but for safety reasons, I'd rather that they just place sidewalk on their property. It's private, and hopefully in the near future we can identify a crossing and we can complete the public sidewalk.
I guess I'm getting a little hung up on the point then. So if an Alloway resident who doesn't live in those units is walking west on St. Joseph Street, is he or she going to be able to use that private sidewalk when it goes private towards alongside the building? If they're walking down the street on St. Joseph toward Riverside, are they allowed to use that?
It's private.
Right, but it creates an S pattern from where the original sidewalk would have been, right? I mean, how would the public know that? Maybe I'm not understanding this.
I guess it depends on how they, you know, how they transition it back to their building. That will be obvious to someone if they're walking along St. Joseph Street. If that'll be obvious that now they're entering a private walk. If somebody is on the St. Joseph Street sidewalk and they want to turn around right now, they're using the driveway, they want to get to the south side of the street and head back east, they would use the driveways to access the sidewalk.
Okay. Maybe some simple signage there. That the private owner could put.
Private?
Yeah. From here on.
Yep.
Come to that effect. You
know. I think that's their responsibility if they want people to stay off of there.
Right.
But all of the purple or pink highlighted area is on private property, right?
Correct.
And where were we planning to have the sidewalk in the future on the right-of-way?
The area that's not highlighted, it's shown as a somewhat etched. If you're looking on the north side, the orange color is public walk. If you were to extend that straight west, Riverside Drive.
So a continuation of the walkway that's there.
On both sides, yes. Yep.
Then when it turns north, that's private, even though that's where it was etched in.
That is private, correct. Yep.
With the
so we had it originally planned on this as being on private land when along Riverside.
I don't think that the DOT had come out with they had come out with 60% plans to improve Riverside Drive. And at that time, I'm just making some assumptions. At that time, they were putting together the plans for this apartment complex.
Yes.
And the consultant that was working on the site plan had probably gotten their drawings and incorporated that improvement into their plan, and they drew in the walk along the west side. And I think they may have even shown where the new right-of-way line was supposed to be. It's east of the current right-of-way line, along the east side of the sidewalk that runs north-south. They never came back and revised their plans, but they still want to build a sidewalk to have the internal circulation around the perimeter of their property.
How wide do you expect that sidewalk along Riverside Drive to be?
I guess it all depends on whether or not we want to accommodate bikers. If it's just for pedestrians, at 5 feet, and that is what they're proposing.
It's not up to us if it's private. They could do 2 feet if they wanted to, right? I mean, it's private.
Right. I think what President Rapper is getting at is that, you know, someday, hopefully in the near future, you know, we're building something to a point to get people across Riverside Drive, and whether that's north along the east side of St. Francis Park or at this particular intersection, or south to a crossing possibly at Alloway Avenue.
Yeah, I was just wondering if they have to adhere to our standards for sidewalks.
They would have to meet ADA for a private site. They'd have to meet ADA requirements, and I believe the minimum is 4 feet.
Okay.
It could be three. But
in practicality, what people will do, what the public will do, is if they're coming down St. Joseph and they want to cross Riverside Drive, they'll follow the private sidewalk up to Riverside Drive and cross.
Yep, on the building.
Yeah. Or they may go in the street. They may take the driveway to the street and cross that way. Is our concern about safety? Is it liability?
It is. First, I'd have to reach out to the DOT to get their input on, you know, whether or not we could allow them to build on to build sidewalk on village right away and not build any curb ramps at Riverside Drive. State statute requires anytime you have sidewalk and it's extended to a public corner, it requires that companion ramps are constructed at and on the other side of the sidewalk. And that's I've talked to a couple consultants and I've gotten their opinion. One had told me don't build anything until until you have a safe crossing. You know,
people are crossing there anyway.
And we could, I mean, the other thing is, if we were to allow them to build the walk within our right of way to connect to their sidewalk that runs north south, we should then be building curb ramps on the east side of Riverside Drive, on the north and south side of St. Joseph Street. And
even if the sidewalk doesn't go all the way up to the curb?
Correct. We're then encouraging people to go to the intersection, but we don't have a ramp for them then.
Well, no, we're encouraging them to go up there, take a right-hand turn, and walk a little bit further north, and then turn around and come back, so they have a longer walking path. No?
Unfortunately, it's complicated. It's statutorily, if we do that, we're required to build ramps.
I could see, if anything, we would make a ramp to the south so they could cross St. Joseph's and go back up on the other side of the street.
I agree with that. Couple issues.
That would have to be rebuilt once there's a crossing, or if
yes, there's crossing. There's some throwaway costs if we just. There's potentially some throwaway costs with that if we elect to do that. We could definitely do that. I don't know that we have the budget this year to afford that, but that is a possibility. You extend walk on the north and south side, and now you're going to be required to build curb ramps on the east side of Riverside Drive. And in the future, when a safe crossing is known, there's some called throwaway costs, because we may have to, if the crossings at St. Joseph Street, we're rebuilding those ramps.
May be that we allow them to continue the north side of St. Joseph Street to the corner with a curb ramp going to the south, so people could cross St. Joseph's at their cost. And if they elect to do that, then, I don't know, maybe it would be in our best interest, or might be a good idea for us to finish the south side of St. Joseph's and do the same thing.
Yeah, Sean, are you saying that if we do that, we have to build a curb ramp on Riverside and on St. Joseph's? Why can't we just say the only option is St. Joseph's, to cross the other side of St. Joseph's and go back up?
Yeah, no, that I think that DOT would be okay with that. We'd explain to them that we wouldn't want to build a ramp on the west side of Riverside Drive right now, because one, it's an uncontrolled intersection, and we don't have a safe crossing at this point. In the future,
on the east side.
What's that?
Or on the east side of Riverside. I don't want it there either. Just on St. Joseph is where we're putting the ramp.
Well, that's what, on the east side to connect the sidewalk on the north and south side of St. Joseph Street. Right. You'd have ramps that would be directed north and south on the east side of Riverside Drive at the corner.
If we don't do that, I would fear that people would walk down, let's say they're walking down the north side of St. Joseph Street, and they're walking west. They get to that driveway, and they're going to say, oh, well, there's either no sidewalk, or the sidewalk that goes further to the west is labeled as private. I'm going to cross here, which isn't an intersection, across two lanes of traffic to get to the other side of St. Joseph and then walk back east again. And if we do this all the way to the corner, then they're at a stop sign. We can put the ramps on St. Joseph, and they can make that circuit a little bit safer, right? Or am I not thinking of this the right way?
No. I agree with that. What we had done last year was temporary, and with the intent that we were going to determine a safe crossing. Once that piece is known, then we can finish the sidewalk. We can definitely do that. If we have the funding to do it this year, and the apartment complex is willing to to build the sidewalk, you know, sidewalk west of their driveway and build a public corner south to the other side of St. Joseph Street. We may have the funds to do that. I did come up with a rough cost for that option. If walk was extended from where it terminates now west to the public corners, to build two public corners that would be directed north south, the cost of that would be roughly $10,000.
For the construction, or yeah, just the corners?
I assume that the apartment complex would be willing to build the sidewalk west of the driveway, yeah, and the cost that included two public corners, as described, and the completion of the sidewalk on the south side to the driveway into home medical supply or equipment.
Okay. If we didn't have the funds to complete that, I would suggest that even allowing them to complete the sidewalk as we had planned, if we were going to do it, all the way to where it would be a safe cutout to go south. If we do that, do we have to build it out on the south at the same time?
We're obligated to build those ramps.
Well, quite honestly, if they're willing to build a sidewalk to our standards on the north side,
okay,
and if we have the money, I do think it makes sense. And if everyone's good with the safety issue, I mean, safety, the way they're going to do it now is no less safe or no more safe than if we continued the sidewalk the way we had it drawn out.
Well,
and what DOT ignores, and this is Kurt's in my neighborhood, coming out of our neighborhood to go to the Fox River Trail, people go down Derby and they go down St. Joe's. And I can't tell you how many times I've crossed this intersection with no crossing, and so have lots of other people. And the DOT seems to ignore that, because if we are under any illusion that stopping the sidewalk where it is keeps people safer, I would tell you that is an illusion.
Yeah. Where it is today, you're saying?
Correct. Yeah. People are still, they just get off at that drive, and they still continue to ride across Riverside.
President
Raptor. Most of them are going to the Fox River Trail.
President Raptor, can you bring up that picture?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I had it up. No?
Oh, the photo. Sorry. You got the right map. Yep. There we go.
I make a good Vanna White, don't I?
You do.
I think a fair compromise would be they can take care of the north side, including the ramp, and we'll take care of the south side. I think it would be to their advantage to have their residents be able to cross safely, and they would have less construction costs, or maybe equal construction costs, because they wouldn't be doing a 45-degree angle and a curve back out. They could build it straight and put in the curb ramp, or the ramp at the corner, we'd take care of the south side. And I don't know if they'd agree to that, but that seems fair to me.
It would keep the public away from their building. They've got all those meters and everything else that are up there. And it's just, even if you mark it, hey, this part of the sidewalk is private, people are still going to do it. Bicyclists are going to hit those meters, skateboarders, whatever else. I would think they'd want that walk away from their building.
Yeah, they're going to have a, they're looking at it right now. I don't know if they'd, the firm that's currently evaluating down in Brookfield, and I've been out there, they're going to have a hard time building something along the south side of the building. It would definitely be easier to build it in a right way. With that being said, I would hope that they'd be willing to build the curb ramp, and then we would do our part on the south side, extend the sidewalk, put in a curb ramp, and have our guys go out and mark a crosswalk. Just west of the stop bar at the stop sign.
Yeah. What's the cost of a curb cutout or a curb ramp?
Anywhere, depending on the type, there are multiple different types. Anywhere from $2,000 to $5,000. The DOT requires they require a lot of detail, and they require a lot of detail because you want to make sure that they're ADA compliant. That if somebody's in a wheelchair, that when they get to the ramp is at the right slope and at the right grade, that the person can maneuver without tipping over. You know, obviously, we don't want anybody to tip over at that corner, out in the Riverside Drive or St. Joseph Street. So, contractors do not like building them because there are a lot of things that come into play.
Well, we keep referring to the DOT, and my question is, if it's not going out onto Riverside Drive, how does the DOT have any say so in what we do?
It's their right of way.
We're going to be in the right of way, I think.
Okay. Well, I personally think that's a good solution for all. It's a good solution for the developer because they don't have to figure out how to put it up close to the building. So we're trying to make it easy for them and good for their residents. And we think we can make it a win-win. We'll give them accolades for building a sidewalk.
I mean, I'm even looking at this picture, and whoever's going to pitch this to them, they've obviously got downspouts that are draining right there at the side yard as well, so they'd have to deal with that, burying those somewhere, because you can't have that dumping across your sidewalk up there. That'd be a nice slip. I think it'll be a lot easier for them.
Okay.
Can I make a motion?
This is cool. This is a discussion item, I believe.
Action also.
Is that
actually, Sean, do you need action?
I think we have a good understanding that we'll go back to Old Chapel Hill and see if we can get this worked out.
The only reason I'd need action is if I didn't have the money enough money in the public works budget, general budget, to take care of it. I think we might. If the apartment complex is willing to put in the curb ramp, I think we could build a 100 feet of walk and a curb ramp on the south side this year.
Excellent. All right, next item, discussion, water sanitary survey.
Okay. Every 3 years, the DNR does a field inspection of our water system. November of last year, Wendy Anderson from the DNR had completed the sanitary survey. They come in and they look at our water system to make sure that it's compliant with DNR regulations and that that we're maintaining a high level of water quality. In total, she had identified 9 significant deficiencies, 7 deficiencies, 6 recommendations, and 9 conforming features. I had provided the definitions of those categories in my report. I want to point out that, Mike and I and his staff, we had reviewed the items that she provided us. And to our knowledge, none of them represent an immediate health risk. We had taken her comments, her items, and we put them in a spreadsheet. And I've also included that in your packet. I'd like to quickly run through the 9 significant deficiencies and the 7 deficiencies that she had identified. The recommendations and non-conforming features, those are recommendations to us. They're not a mandated requirement that we have to do at this time. It's suggested that we do our best to address those by the next sanitary survey, but I want to focus on the 16 deficiencies, and I'll do my best to quickly run through them. Mike Mogg, water foreman, has joined us, and he can assist with me with going through these items. And then at the end, if you have any questions, you'll probably be able to better answer your questions than I would.
Sean is the spreadsheet. What you want me to be, Sean?
Yeah, thank you. Great. Yep. I'll work from top to bottom. At the top, Wendy had identified that we had we had noted last year when we were completing our reservoir inspection that we had a crack at the top of the rectangular ground storage tank at Bandai pump station. During her review of our system, she had noted that we have since addressed that leak. It's been repaired. You can take that off the list. Moving on to the next item. Of the 9 significant deficiencies, she had noted 6 non-compliant overflows. In our reservoirs, inside at the top of the tank, we have an overflow weir. Attached to that overflow weir is a discharge pipe that runs, for the most part, along the outside of the tank, down to grade. And at that point, there's a 90-degree bend, and it extends so many feet horizontally. That overflows, in the event that, for whatever reason, our pumps are continue to run and they don't shut off, we don't jeopardize the roof on top of our tanks, that the pressure is relieved and water run out at the base of our tank. On the outside, where the water would spill out if there was an overflow, there's in most cases currently a flapper valve, and she's concerned about that flapper valve that it could get stuck open. If it's not maintained, it could get, for whatever reason, it could get stuck open, and I guess something could get up into our water system. The fix for that is to reconfigure that outlet outside of the tank, install a screen, and put a 90-degree downward bend on it. So she had, of the 9, she had identified 9 non-compliant overflows, and we've listed a number of them that we want to take care of this year, a number of them that we want to complete during our reservoir inspection. Our reservoirs are inspected every 5 years. The next scheduled inspection will be at most reservoirs a full drain, and at that point, we want to address a number of these comments all at once at that time, and she's agreed with that. Moving on, Station 7 at Culp Street. Within the tank, at the top of the tank, for whatever reason, I don't know, there was insulation installed on the roof of the tank, and that was noted when we did our reservoir inspection last year, and she would like us to remove that, concern that could get into the drinking water. She had asked that they get done this year, and we will be, by the end of this year, we'll get into that tank, we'll drain down that tank, we'll get in and remove that insulation. Actually, Mike spoke to Russ Feeney at Water Tower Clean & Co. today about that project. At Libel Street, that's not properly covered. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I wanted to ask a question about that. You said we spoke to Russ Feeney?
Yeah.
Okay, is that a project he did, or are you asking him to do?
Uh, we had reached out to him to possibly assist with the project.
Okay.
Yep. Yep. At Station 4, there's a vent that needs to be properly abandoned. And at the end of this, I'll have Mike cover some of this stuff too, some of these items. Moving down to some of the deficiencies, unknown chlorine residual entering system. Manitowoc, we get our water from Manitowoc. At their station, they add chlorine. When it gets to our connection station, we add chlorine as well, but not to the accuracy that she wants. She's asked that we install a second chlorine analyzer. Since the time that she's come out with these comments, she's found out that she can't necessarily enforce that. And she's kind of backed off from that comment. But we're working with Central Brown County Water Authority and the other members to come up with a system that can more precisely add and measure, monitor chlorine. Another deficiency, more accurate measured use of polyphosphate. And I know Mike has already reached out to a contractor, and they're already discussing how we could do that more precisely. And that would be through a radar system, a radar system reader. Moving down to, again, at Station 4, I guess, at Station 4 and at Station 7, we do have wells that we maintain. And she had questioned how often those wells are being maintained, and we had looked through records, and we had determined that well 4 was maintained in 2007 and well 7 in 2009. And based on our use of those wells, we should be inspecting and maintaining those on a 20-year cycle. And she found that acceptable, and we'll be putting together plans in the future, contracts in the future to maintain and possibly refurbish those wells, and that would be in 2027 and 2029 respectively for wells 4 and 7. Moving down the list, lead copper monitoring not up to date. Mike has worked with her on that. Resubmitted a revised plan to her that was acceptable. That's been completed. Two deficiencies here that were listed. Both led to the same distribution system line inventory not adequate. The DNR is their regulations have become a little more involved. We have pretty good records of the water system from the main to the property line or to the curb stop. The DNR is now requiring that we inventory, that we keep track of pipe material placed from the property line to the meter in the home. That's a new requirement, and we're going to start to track that with
that one.
And we do our own cross-connection inspections, residential cross-connection inspections. We've added some information on that inspection form so that when that person's inside doing the inspection that they take a look at the pipe material at the meter. No written cross-connection control plan. We do our own residential inspection. We hired a contractor to do the commercial inspection. We've been using that consultant's, we've been using their forms, and we'll prepare our own. We'll take their form and modify it.
John, could we go back to the previous one where
sure.
they want us to have an inventory of all laterals back to the meter in the house?
Yep.
We have that information.
I'm sorry, you broke up.
Do we have that information today?
No, so...
Go ahead, Mike.
This is Mike. In the past, the Wisconsin DNR did not require us to keep private side inventory of our water services.
Right.
Due to the new lead and copper laws that they have out, the DNR and our annual PSC report that's due, is they are now requiring municipalities to track and inventory private side laterals. We currently did not have that inventory list, and we are in the process of developing that. And the only way we can develop the private side list is physically going into these homes and doing inspections without sending a guy out there continuously to do them. We're going to work at it as we do our cross-connection inspections. And then anytime we enter somebody's house, we are going to document those service laterals as they come up through the floor in the house by the meter.
Okay, the reason I ask is it says the village completion of work is July 1st of 2020.
That is just to develop a plan. So our plan now is anytime we have a service order or we're doing a cross-connection inspection where we actually physically get in the home is when we're going to document that. The DNR realizes that this isn't going to be something that they're going to get instantaneous records of. But they want us in the future to make sure we're keeping track of these. So anytime, like in our construction projects, in the past when these private site service laterals were replaced, there was really not a good detailed record of what the material was and what was being replaced inside those homes. And now because it's mandated on the PSC going forth from here on out, the DNR wants us to have a plan, and they want us to make sure that we're inventorying those as we go.
Okay. Yeah, I wanted to make sure that they're not telling us we have to spend a whole lot of money to go into every property in Alloway to document that.
No, and I've talked to other municipalities, and, I mean, because this has just become a mandate within the last couple of years, most of these municipalities aren't even halfway through. So we have some records, but I know with the age of our village, a lot of those records were never kept.
Okay. Thank you.
Hey, Mike, did you have anything else that you'd like to add?
Just the main thing, because I know when you look at the significant deficiencies and the deficiencies that the DNR laid out, most of these deficiencies were things that were compliant years ago when they were originally installed. They were fine on subsequent DNR sanitary survey inspections. And because of rule changes recently within the DNR, they now become deficiencies and then potentially move up into significant deficiencies. Like these overflows that she's mandating us to change have not been issues in the past. And now it's getting to the point where they are making it mandatory for us to replace these. It's not something that was constructed wrong. It's just it's past its, I guess, life expectancy for what the DNR is changing their rules to now.
It'd be interesting to know how much these new rule changes are going to cost the village to comply with, because there's a person on the phone by the name of Lynn Green, who...
Unfunded mandates.
Unfunded mandates, yep. But
Sean and I have sat down, and what we're trying to do is, I mean, if you look at some of these dates, some of the bigger projects, which is a tower project that we're taking on, we're taking care of one of those overflows during that tower project right now. So we're trying to push some of this in the future when we're doing other projects like full drain downs on our reservoirs for inspections to alleviate some of that cost increase that's going to be there. And one of the things is that some of these mandates that they have don't become an issue until other. So there had to be, for an instance, on
the Vanda High Connection Station, that crack that was noted that we took care of already.
Mm-hmm.
Once you have DNR plan submittal, any other deficiency or non-conforming issue within that station now becomes mandated to be taken care of once you touch that station and submit plans to the DNR.
Okay. Well, yeah, that even goes more to trying to understand what the cost of doing these things will be. I see we have estimated cost, but
we'll continue to up. We're going to be continually updating the spreadsheet, and I know Mike has just recently gotten some more information on the cost to correct some of these items. But we'll when we have money available, we're going to address as many as we can, and we had done our best to defer a number of these, but there's still a handful that we got to take care of this year.
Okie doke.
All right. Any questions? And I apologize. I just lost my internet, so I'm now down to my mobile hotspot. All right. Next item, MS4 Stormwater Annual Report to WDNR.
The village's stormwater system requires a DNR permit. Requires a Wisconsin Pollution Discharge Elimination System permit. That permit has 12 different permit conditions, one of which is an annual report. I have completed the annual report. It was due end of March. It was a report that had summarized our progress on the 12 permit conditions for 2019. Do you have any questions? Would you like me to run through the report?
I'd say pertinent pieces.
Okay. The 12 permit conditions are as follows: public education and outreach, public involvement and participation, illicit discharge detection and elimination, construction site pollutant control, post-construction stormwater management, pollution prevention, and that applies to village facilities, stormwater quality management, storm sewer system map, annual report, cooperation amendments, reapplication for permit coverage. So actually there are 9 permit conditions. Real quick, to summarize the 9 permit conditions and what we do, public education and outreach, we work with Northeast Wisconsin Stormwater Consortium. They help us achieve that permit condition. The notices that Debbie places on our webpage and the email blast that she sends out about spring and fall yard waste cleanup and the other street sweeping in the spring when we start that, she lets everybody know that we started that and reminds everybody of the parking regulations with that. Public involvement and participation, that's this component. Going through the annual report with you or other items that we frequently have on the Public Works Committee agenda or Village Board agenda on stormwater. Illicit discharge detection and elimination. That involves going out and looking at our outfalls. We have 52 outfalls, and the objective there is to, during dry weather, to go out and look at the outfall to make sure that there isn't any flow or any discharge. If there is flow during dry weather, you may have an illicit discharge connected to your storm sewer system, and if you find that, you have to further evaluate that. I'm unaware of any, so we that'll be something that we will do this year. We didn't do it last year. Our permit is good for 5 years, and it's not something that you have to do every year. So we'll do that this year. Construction site pollutant control. Last year we had 5 permitted construction sites. We did 30 plus or minus inspections during the duration of those projects. That's split between Kevin Weiland, the building inspector, and myself. Go out there and make sure that the contractor has installed construction erosion control measures before they've started the grading. That consists of silt fence, inlet protection, stone tracking pads, post-construction stormwater management. Of the 5 permitted construction sites last year, 4 required permanent stormwater best management practices. That would be private ponds, bioretention devices in the case of the brewery that was just recently built. Pollution prevention. The village has 6 ponds. Those ponds store and treat stormwater from the village. We inspect and maintain those. We inspect those ponds on a frequent basis, spring, fall, and after any significant rainfall. Under pollution prevention, we note that beginning end of March through November, we're out sweeping our streets. In 2019, we removed 207 tons of sediment from our streets. We go out once or twice a year and clean catch basins that have sumps below the lowest invert in that structure. Leaf collection, spring and fall, we go out and collect leaves. Another thing that it may be notable under pollution prevention, we monitor and we try to minimize the amount of salt we use.
Hey, Sean?
Yes.
How much of road sediment did you say we removed? How many tons?
From street sweeping, 207 tons.
Holy crap.
Yeah, that is amazing.
We, starting in March, starting in April, we, every 2 weeks we try to make one, trip around the village.
207 tons, wow. Okay.
The other thing that we, you know, we're hopeful we can get hire an engineering tech. We can update our maps, and we haven't in some time updated our storm sewer system map. And that we need
any calculation of the total maximum daily load.
I have that number, but not handy. I can provide you an email with that tomorrow, Kurt. But that's a requirement under stormwater quality management. We need to have a plan to meet the Fox and East River TMDL total maximum daily load. And with the 6 ponds that we currently have, we don't meet the requirement, but we're on our way. We're building another pond this summer, the Bethel Baptist Pond Project, and that will increase the amount of pollutants that we remove from our stormwater. Any questions?
Right, then we're on to the recycling program annual report of the WDNR.
Hey, Sean, I was on mute, but I was going to say,
is this
the first report that you've written for this, the MS4, or is this your second?
This is
third.
It's my second report for Village that way.
Okay. Nice job.
Okay. And this is another annual report that we put together for the DNR. This summarizes what we've completed in our recycling program for 2019. I'm going to highlight some of the notable items in the report. In 2019, we collected 1,148 tons of recycling material. Of that, that material consisted of aluminum containers, corrugated cardboard, glass containers, residential mixed paper, and metal containers. After we've collected the material from the street, we take it to Brown County transfer station. From that transfer station, it's hauled down to Outagamie to their mixed recycling facility. At that facility, it's sorted, and from that, they can determine the different types of recyclables in our recycling material, I guess. Last year we had, and we no longer do it, but last year we allowed people to bring electronics and appliances down to Lebron Yardway site. We've discontinued that service, but in 2019 we collected 33,000 pounds of electronics, 50,000 pounds of major appliances. We collected 30 batteries, 1,650 gallons of used oil, and we still allow people to bring that down there, and 7,400 yards of yard waste.
Those numbers are just amazing.
All the gather the cost of our to collect recyclables and yard waste is approximately $560,000.
Is some of that revenue generated at all? Like the used oil, don't some actually take that for heating or anything like that? The scrap metals.
A few years ago, it did. A couple years ago, it did. We would get a check from Brown County for the recyclables that we collected. Unfortunately, the markets have gone down, and we're having to pay to collect and dispose of recyclable goods. The markets have gotten better, but we're still paying to dispose of recyclables.
Wow.
Any other questions?
When do you anticipate that market turning around, or do you? I mean, what are you seeing for your projection?
And we get a monthly update from Brown County Solid Waste Department. They have recently come out and indicated that there's a pretty good market for paper, but for the other items, market hasn't been good. I don't know. Off the top of my head, I think the cost right now to dispose of recyclable goods is roughly $25 a ton. That number has improved from last year. We were not far from, $35 a ton to dispose of recyclable goods. So I'm hoping that the market improves. Brad, do you have any idea of when the market may improve enough where we actually get paid for the disposal of collection and disposal of recyclable goods?
I don't see it happening anytime in the near future, to be honest. Maybe they come up with a different uses for it, but currently it's no.
Wasn't a big part of it because the Chinese used to take a lot of our stuff and they don't want it anymore?
Correct.
Okay.
I'm worried. I just didn't know what you guys saw for the future.
Nothing too good.
All right.
I was sure would think the recycled oil would be of value once our fuel prices start going up again. I would think. At the very least.
We can hope.
I mean, there's plenty of shops that will use that in their heating systems.
Yes,
all right, any other questions with regards to recycling? All right, 2020 construction projects.
Sure. Last week we had started our resurfacing project. Work on St. Mary Street has started. Contractor is over there right now removing curb and gutter and pouring new curb and gutter. When that work has been completed, Northeast Asphalt will be in to remove the existing asphalt and put down the lower layer of asphalt. And hopefully at that time then we'll be in there replacing the sanitary sewer with the cured-in-place pipeliner. And then after that, replacement of the laterals. When we're done with that work, then the final layer of asphalt will be placed. Work on the Old River Condominium Trail project has started.
Sean?
Yes.
Sean, I'm sorry to interrupt. Are we doing anything with private side laterals on St. Mary's?
No, but people that have inquired about that, we're going to be putting them in touch with the contractor that will be hired to do the pipe bursting. And if they have availability, I'm sure that they'd be willing to take that lateral to the house. But it would be an agreement between the contractor and the property owner.
Okay. I got a call today from a resident who just left a cryptic message about it. So, thank you.
Yeah. Arbor Lane, work on that project has started. The grout is over there right now, adjusting manhole covers, inlet and manhole covers. At the completion of that, and then the contractor responsible for the curb and gutter work will be over there working on removal and replacement. Effective curb and gutter. Work on Garland Street hasn't started. They have placed temporary traffic control. The alleyway work, the cost came in a little bit higher than what we had anticipated. Because of that, the limits of and scope of work have changed slightly. The alleyway off St. Joseph Street, we had to shorten that to just that area adjacent to Associated Bank, which is okay because that was actually the worst section of the alleyway. Our intent would be to get that done this year, and then if we have money next year, we'll complete the alleyway work. But we could probably hold off because the rest of it isn't actually in that bad condition. The alleyway south of Halloway Avenue. We'll get done this year. That work will get started probably next week. In order to get the cost within what we had budgeted, the final layer of asphalt won't go on until next year, and we'll take care of that under next year's street resurfacing project. We'll put down 2 inches of asphalt this year, and that will hold up just fine because there isn't a whole lot of traffic on or loading on that alleyway. Let me see here. There's some minor work that will be, if it hasn't started already, will get done on the Longview Pond Trail. Bethel Pond Project, we've heard back from the contractor that the project will likely start end of June, early July. I don't have any other construction updates.
So, Sean, are these all of the projects that we'll be doing this year?
For the most part, yes.
Major
projects, yes. Yep.
The reason I ask is it just seems that it is we're beginning early and we're going to end early. Is that because, which is a great thing, by the way. I mean, very often I know we're going into October with projects. And is it because we got on the schedule early and we got on the,
yes,
the contractors?
Yeah, we had.
Very nice.
We had pushed these projects out the door early to get better pricing. Because of that, we got on their schedule sooner.
That's nice. Very nice.
Excellent. Any questions on the construction project?
Nope.
All right. Motion to adjourn. Do we have one?
Jim. Rafter.
Jim and Jim.
Jim.
All right,
and Jim.
Squared. The Jim Squared have it. All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Hey, Sean, can you stay for one question? And
sure.
This has nothing to do with regards to the meeting. How does a